Just cause.
There's an actual term for that when you go up.
It's called the Apropos of Nothing Podcast.
That's not it.
With your host,
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And we're buckled up with our good friend,
Stefan.
Senpai.
Yay, Senpai.
Who apparently hasn't been on the show for a while.
Huh.
Like, he contacted me and he was like, it's been like a couple years. And I was like, no.
I hadn't thought it'd been a couple years.
I think
we just always have him in our hearts.
In our hearts.
And, yeah, I mean, well,
and
there's
in
that.
Our in our speed dials.
In our mouths.
So,
whoa.
Really?
Wait.
What kind of relationship do you have with
him?
When
did that happen?
We have him in our mouth tonight.
Oh, hey, we do, actually.
Thank you for bringing booze.
You're welcome.
Yay. What'd you bring us?
Raspberry cider. Homebrewed.
Oh. Homebrewed raspberry
picked
cider.
Picked from my backyard.
Wow. Ooh, classy.
Yeah, this is from two summers ago.
Whoa, dang.
Do you filter?
Mm-mm. Mm.
Oh.
Not outside of...
oh, my God.
Not outside of siphoning after everything's settled.
I like it.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's very... in my mouth.
It's dry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, quite
it
dry.
It is, but it's like a tart, like a tart raspberry candy.
What kind of apple did you use?
Oh, Christ.
The kind that he had 2 years ago.
It might have been like... it might have been like 90% raspberry juice and 10% crabapple.
Mm.
Okay.
Oh, crabapple explains it.
I would have said crabapple, definitely. Mm. I would have guessed Harrelson as well.
Mm. But, yeah.
God damn, that makes my mouth
pucker.
I'll
look that up later. Yeah, okay. My wife absolutely loves this. And
yeah, that's got some tang to it.
And she loves this flavor specifically, so.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So I just stole booze from your wife?
Kinda, but...
Aww, now I have guilt.
No, this is, like I said, this is from 2 years ago. We currently have my first kegged batch of cider.
So we stole booze from your wife in the past.
I guess.
Past
wife. Past booze wife.
Past
wife booze.
Booze
past
theft.
Booze past wife.
Past theft. Past theft wife booze.
But no, we still have... We still have a majority of last year's batch in a keg in the basement, so.
Okay.
So when did we drink it?
Two years ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
Duh.
Oh, that explains that magical night.
I know, right?
Mm.
But yeah, so.
Like there was a top hat and a rabbit involved?
Well, there was definitely a series of tricks.
Whoa.
Or what? That might have just been me.
Spreading the news. I know a different version of that.
I was
start drinking the booze.
Ooh,
That is the one Jenna and I are talking about.
Cheers.
Hey,
yay.
I have problems with this. All right.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Don't even ask.
Ready?
Don't even.
Here it comes.
Oh, God.
Ready? Here it comes. What you been up to?
Projects.
I've got a thing. I've got a thing.
Yeah,
I'm going home.
I do too.
All right.
I do too.
Oh my God. Okay. So maybe you should do yours for. It's not DL related, right?
No. I actually literally do your not DL related thing
first, because I also have a not DL related thing, but it kind of slides right in a DL.
Okay.
Ooh, so. Whoa.
My wife and I are replacing the ceiling in one of our living rooms, and. So yeah, that's super fun.
And the floor in one of their basements.
Not quite.
The
basement.
That is some fucking portal level shit there.
What was the impetus for this?
Well,
water damage or something.
Water damage and questionable decorative choices.
Uh huh.
That's kind of the two big ones.
Yeah. The questionable decorative choice was sometime back, probably in based on the styrofoam. It was late 70s. Popcorn ceiling, yeah. Yes, but they decided to take these U-shaped troughs of styrofoam that on the outside were shaped to look like giant dark wooden beams. And they just caulked them to the ceiling.
Yes.
So it looked like, like the your ceiling, except like... 5 inches down and 5 inches across.
Oh my God!
There were
totally
four of them.
That.
It looked disgusting. Oh. And so we ripped down the styrofoam almost immediately after we moved in.
So just faux beam work?
Yeah. Yeah.
It
literally.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. It is. And actually, I love the look of actual beam work.
As do I.
Yeah, no, this was a horrible facsimile.
Think that was a good idea.
This was like someone trying to doing a YouTube video trying to follow a YouTube makeup tutorial while drunk.
Gotcha.
I actually
have followed a makeup tutorial while drunk, so...
How did it turn out?
No.
I followed while in makeup. Yeah.
Actually, it wasn't...
Next year's Die Laughing Show.
What? What are we doing?
Next year's Die Laughing Show.
We're going to follow makeup tutorials while drunk.
All right.
Yep.
I'll produce that.
All right.
Okay.
Excellent. But yeah, so for the last 2.5 years, we've had these, you know... remnants of the caulk and styrofoam, and I just haven't been asked to do it. But we had a water leak from the master shower, which we patched last August, but I'd never done anything.
But
with the
it
whole...
was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, you know? Well, the fact that we're having her family come up in May to celebrate her grad school graduation.
Which is super exciting.
It really is.
Yeah. And,
oh my God. We might see her once every 2 years again.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
God. So, attend anime night?
Might. We'll see. Yeah. So we finally found somebody who is a dude who's an independent guy who did another friend's complete, or did the drywall for a friend's basement because they're remodeling their basement to make it into an Airbnb apartment.
Oh. Okay.
And so they were really satisfied with him. So, he referred him to us, and so we talked with him. So he did the teardown last week, and so now straight drywall.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty simple, which is nice.
Yeah,
because plaster would be a nightmare. But currently, I've been around all the other shit that I've had going on. Like last weekend, I've been trying to rewire the ceiling boxes for 3-conductor, so that we can separate the control for the fans and the lamps, because the previous owners had both of them tied together on a dimmer switch, and putting a dimmer on an AC motor is not good ever.
No. Yeah, you're gonna burn your fan out.
Yup.
Pretty quick.
Yeah. Huh. So those motherfuckers were loud, and we just happened to have a spare switch in the box.
Like a diesel engine turning on every time you turn.
Pretty much. And so we have a spare switch in the box where the light dimmer is. So I'm running 3-conductor, but it just means that, you know, I have to cut several holes in my wall in addition to run it through. And so
now's the time to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're also talking about putting in some other ceiling lights for a wall wash on our fireplace. And so hopefully I can get that done by Thursday night so we can have the dude back on Friday and over the weekend to actually install everything.
Finish up.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he discovers that the light bulb is burned out, so he goes to get another one, and he finds that the shelf is unbalanced, so he goes to get the screw gun to fix the shelf. He finds that the screw gun doesn't work and goes to return it, and then finds that the car needs...
oil
change.
But I actually literally went... I did some of that work on Saturday night.
Gross.
So that's one of the things that I did over the weekend.
Gross.
Wow.
I know.
Gross.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gross. Because... Well, no, you had another thing.
I do have another thing.
Yeah.
I didn't realize yours would feed in as well as mine. It was actually, what was it, Wednesday or Thursday? Thursday night, I think. I was, as I said last week, rehearsals for Human Combat Chess have started.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody wasn't able to attend last week.
I think lots of people couldn't attend last week.
I wasn't there.
Okay, that's accurate.
Was I there? Definitely cannot attend.
You may have been there. Sometimes you're like sneaky like a ninja, so I wouldn't put it past you to have actually been there.
I wouldn't put it past you that I could have been there. I think I wasn't. But.
Yeah, just because you notice us doesn't mean that we notice Senpai.
That.
He's so sneaky he doesn't even know himself if he's there.
That's.
He just shows up in the background of photos like Slender Man.
Yes. But anyway, so my daughter and I were about to head out for human combat chess rehearsal, and I go to pull out of the garage, and there's a little icy patch. Oop. And I slip on the icy patch and manage to catch my front bumper and tear the goddamn thing off the car. Again. This is the second time I've done it. Now, it's been a clean tear both times. Like, I think this time I had a tiny chunk that came out of, like, one of the spots, but it wasn't a big deal. But I was just not looking forward to going back to Bobby and Steve's. Mm-hmm. Being like, can you guys put this back on again? Can you fucking, like, melt it to the rest of the body or something? I know that's not good, but whatever.
I mean, I feel like that's literally the job of the bumper.
Well, it's just the bumper
is
cover.
To get damaged so your car doesn't.
Yeah.
Right. So, well, the thing is, so my garage door, my garage door is so narrow that when I go...
How narrow was it?
Damn it. Fuck. I was fucking hoping. Oh.
Worth it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I hate everybody on this podcast.
Even me?
Oh.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't notice you over there.
No, he was just replacing the ceiling in the lab here.
But no, it's, I seriously, if I pull out perfectly, I have 2 inches. I have 2 inches to either side of each mirror and one less baby.
I'll let you say it this time, James.
That's what she said.
No.
That, what the what fuck is that?
No, fucking, no, I'm fine. No, I don't care.
No, that is bullshit.
No, fuck. No, try again. Try again. Do it right. Do it right.
I'm you. You do it.
Stefan, do you want to do it?
How narrow was it?
Jesus Christ. Okay. She had a date like that once, guys. Come on, give us a program.
Oh, fuck, we're doing that one?
For fuck's sake. Yeah, no, but when I back out of my garage, I don't know if that's better for you.
Back it up.
But when I do, there is 2 inches on either side of my mirrors.
Okay.
Like, okay. It is that incredibly tight of a spot to get out of.
Yep, okay? There it is. And it was just a little slippery this time.
It was. So the car slipped and I caught the bumper again.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I was like, well, I'm just going to take this bumper, throw it in the back of my car, and off we go to rehearsal, because fucking what else are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nothing.
So, and Jessa, like, not intending to be mean, but not considering her word choice, is like, wow, you did that again. I was just like, I'm not going to kill you. You have almost made it to 18.
So close.
I feel like if I killed you now.
Right.
Yeah. But it was definitely ill-timed.
Yeah.
And poorly phrased. So I had the bumper in the back of my car. Then we got back from chess rehearsal, and I packed up the car, leaving the bumper in the back of the car. Because, I mean, at least then I have my license plate with me, right?
Like, I mean, there's that.
Yeah. So, packed up and was ready the next day to go over for Die Laughing.
Oh, did that happen?
It did. You wouldn't know. You were busy tearing apart your ceiling or some shit.
I'm sure he was there.
You certainly didn't spend any time there whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't notice him.
Yeah. Didn't notice. Oh. No, do we have anything else that we wanted to talk about before I Die Laughing?
I'm starting to feel better.
Oh, yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
Yay!
James was sick.
No longer on the brink of death. I'm just in the neighborhood.
Strolling along the dark alleys?
Yes.
Hmm.
Looking for unmarked vans full of candy?
To be fair, they have the best candy. like the no-name steaks. It's the no-brand candy.
Oh.
I don't... What?
There's like something weirdly closed down IGA supermarket about that.
Okay. So okay. Here's something not die laughing related.
Okay.
Sure.
It involves me having been gone for a few days. We won't say why, because we all know why.
Uh-huh.
You were in the hospital.
Yes. When I got
giving
back.
Birth.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm now the proud father of a nice lager.
But when you got back.
So when I left, my son was you know, a talker. You know, but he, you know, is still working on consonants and sentence structure and stuff like that.
Right.
And I was gone for 3 days, and I got back, and he was like, "How was your day?"
Uh-huh.
He was like, "What just happened?"
Right.
Like, in 3 days, he was suddenly, like, his sentence structure just, like, locked in, and he was saying complex sentences. Like, he was telling me about what he did, and he's like, "This is what I had for lunch." And he's like, "And I had this, and I had this, and I had this." And it was just like, "What the fuck happened while I was gone?"
"I've been to Oxford, Father." "I've returned, and I'm a new man."
That's, you know what this means, Salsa? You've just been holding him back.
Absolutely. I absolutely have been. No, just like Jenna's kids, my kids are way better than I am.
Mm. Yeah. Kids, do I have another one that I don't know about?
Die laughing.
Oh, have we not?
I really feel like I would know if I had more than one child living.
I mean,
nobody told you about this one.
And I don't know that that's how that works, Salsa. I don't.
Do you remember that time that you went to Taco Bell?
Yeah, no, the father.
Food baby?
The father had this one.
Yeah, like a seahorse.
Or a platypus.
I've actually seen the video of a seahorse giving birth, and now that's a very disturbing visual.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my baby daddy was the first one to pop into my mind, but that. Like, any guy
are
now.
Are we still doing phrasing?
I can just.
Are we still doing phrasing? Okay, all right.
Now I'm just cycling through different dudes now.
Are we still
now I'm
going phrasing?
Through, like.
Why just, are you voluntarily doing this?
Oh, God. Why is this? Oh.
Also, cycling through guys is how you got in this position in the first place.
Actually.
It's also how she got her place in our fuck-a-pella band.
That's, do it, fuck-a-pella.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. I kind of don't want to talk about fuck-a-pella, though.
No. We'll talk about fuck-a-pella at a later date.
At a later date.
We had a later date like that once.
Yes.
Whoa.
This is all teaser.
That was actually funny.
This well is all teaser.
Oh, no.
Those of you that watched the live stream know what we're talking about. Uh-huh. Those who haven't.
Those who didn't.
We will be releasing the audio hopefully soon, and then you'll know what the hell we're talking about.
Slowly, like a series of farts.
Ooh, can we get just the file for that one portion?
Yes.
For the... Yes.
I will be pulling that out. Don't worry. That is a thing.
And we'll make that available?
Yes. That is a thing that will happen.
Sweet. We
will
widely available.
Whoa.
That was a completely appropriate thing to say, right?
Unlike my garage door.
Well, you know, you keep doing that, it's gonna start to spread after a while.
Like...
It's gonna be all blown out.
I don't...
Like a 7-10 split?
I can nail that.
All right.
We've gone from the bumper to the spare.
Oof.
Oh, so I had the bumper in the back of my car. And then, so it came with me to Die Laughing, and then back home after Die Laughing, because fucking, what else are you going to do with the damn thing?
Yeah.
And then.
Take it on vacation? I don't know.
Well, I kind of did.
Walk around.
The next day.
Yeah, nice romantic date.
I brought the thing over like to our friend Josh's place of employment, and he reattached my bumper for
me.
And then I took my car for a car wash because, one, it needed it, and two, I felt like it had gone through a lot and deserved it.
A spa package?
Yeah, a little spa package.
Aww.
I got the deluxe.
That's really cute. Now I want to get my car a car wash.
God damn it.
Right?
I got a spa package this weekend.
I did, too. Did you
me
use
too.
It?
Yes, I did. I had to.
Mm.
Good.
because it was the most evil, subversive thing.
Yeah?
So those who know me know that, when it comes to
did you get lotion?
Smelly things.
Ah.
Smelly things like candles or
right.
cleaning supplies or lotions.
Right.
I would rather smell cow manure.
Farm boy.
And yes, I grew up on a farm. I know exactly what it smells like. That is not hyperbole. I would Dear literally Amazon. Rather smell cow manure.
Are you looking for a cow manure cologne?
I am.
Excellent.
And my particular brand of ADD means that whenever some lotion or sunscreen or anything like that is put on my skin, most people put it on and go, okay, and move on with their day. I cannot.
I have feel issues
it.
With
I
it, too.
I feel it hours it depends, later.
It depends on the lotion. There are some that I've, like, because I've had to do medicated stuff for my face. So, you just kind of some of them, it's just like... Now I'm covered in grease and I can't make it go away.
And just like an hour later, I'm still sitting there twitching, going, it's on my skin, I can't help. And so my sister-in-law got me a Spock package. And it said, make sure he gets a smelly lotion.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that bitch.
Exactly.
That is amazing.
Yeah, that is the most evil, like... Here's a great thing that we did as a positive, and she went, just going to twist this knife a little bit.
Yeah.
It's glorious.
Yeah. No, so I was like, she paid for it. I have to.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, go through this.
Did you at least get, like, some of the other stuff, though, too? Like, the coffee or the...
No, I didn't have enough time for it. It was a pretty quick through, and then I washed the shit off. Because fuck it.
I was going to say, did you at least take video of your face as it was applied?
I should have. I should have. Like, that would I should have, like, live-streamed it or something. I was just like, this was, like, day three. I was tired. I just wanted to get it done.
Fair. Of course, yeah.
I was like, I did it.
That is an amazing thing. Wash
it. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and like... I got home on Sunday night or Monday. She was here when I was when I got home because my wife is busy with teacher stuff, and so she got the kids.
As happens.
And so I got in. She was like, "So how'd you like your spot packages?" I was like,
"Fuck!" Brilliant.
I also got a spot package. I did not expect to enjoy it, and I did because I also have a thing with lotions, so I just didn't get any lotion.
Right.
Nobody. Stipulated that I had to have lotion in mind, so but I got like the hot towel and I got the special water of whateverness, and I got French press coffee and I got my hair braided.
Nice,
aww.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite lovely. I did not actually because I don't like people touching me in general.
Yeah,
and I don't like lotions.
Sure.
I'm fine with smells, and the music was nice and, like, relaxing and stuff like that. But, like, I don't downtime very well in the first place. I've been trying to learn, like, it's a part of my, the therapy that I went through is making sure that I take time for downtime stuff.
Self-care.
I hate it.
You'll have to teach me something.
Apparently it's supposed to help keep me sane or some shit, so whatever, I do it. what?
Apparently.
Apparently.
Whatever. You know, I mean, that's it's just my mental health and stuff.
Yeah, that's what the specialist said. I suppose I should listen to them. It's like they got a degree in that shit or something. But
no, I'm with you. It sounds awful.
But yeah, it's just in my brain. It's just, this sounds gross. And I'm better at like active meditation and things like that where I'm doing something, but it's still like a zoning out meditation. Like, yeah. You still get the zone out and the free flow of non-thinking, but you're doing a thing, which helps.
But you're playing Tetris,
that. Yeah. Monster Busters or Flow Free or whatever. Yes. The system is down.
Thank you. Somebody was going to have to break us out of that.
Somebody had to do it. Yeah.
That is track number two on Funkapella's album.
Yes. Every song from now on has to end "The System Is Down."
This will make so much more sense once you listen to the Die Laughing Five episode.
Yes. Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Seriously, though, five, you guys.
Five fucking times.
Five. Five. Okay, so we're going to have to talk about this shit.
Yeah.
Do we want to start with, like, our different areas of what we did?
I think we should start with a quick break.
With a quick break? The system is down.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Stefan.
Yay!
All right.
Hooray!
Here's the moment that we've all been waiting for.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, Die Laughing.
Bum, bum.
Bum. I can't even write now.
That was the thing.
Woof.
Yeah.
That happened.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep this pretty surface. Let's not try to dig too deep into anything, because this podcast would be a good 5 hours long easily.
Or 50.
And,
God.
Hey, I didn't occupy the tech booth for the first 15 hours this year.
Yay!
So that's a
progress. Just the last 35.
We can start with departments.
Yeah, all right.
And specifically what the two of you did.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, this year we did something new. Last year it was just tech. It was everything involving microphones and the stage and lights and sound and the whole nine yards that were all under one roof. And this year we split that up a little bit. We had Stefan in charge of the booth and me in charge of the stage. So he was doing lights and sound and making sure everything sounded good, and I was the one making sure that tables and chairs and microphones got placed in the correct place on stage, and the backstage area stayed mostly clean. It was pretty good for the first half.
Mm-hmm. Well, the funny thing was is I actually joined Fearless in like mid to late February, since I started talking to Tim about it after we had already started doing rehearsals for Fearless mm-hmm. 5 mm-hmm. Harbingers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so,
and this was
last year. And you, Salsa, and Nathan Gerber had been the tech heads, and I just sort of came in and commandeered everything, and
which
story
at
checks out
at gunpoint.
Which mm-hmm. honestly was fine, because not to say anything bad about Nate, but he was busy with a lot of other stuff, so mm-hmm. I was doing mm-hmm. I good 70% of it. Is how I felt, to be fair. I mean, it's entirely possible that I'm wrong on that, and Nathan did more than I just didn't realize.
Or that you both would say the same thing.
Entirely possible. That's just kind of how I felt on things.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he had other shit going on, so I'm not, mm-hmm. like, bad-mouthing him or anything like that. Mm. But yeah, I was in charge of organizing a lot of that stuff, and then Stefan showed up and was like, I have a degree in this stuff. And it was like, well, here you go!
Have it. I love how last year, like, it was like a few weeks beforehand, Stefan's like, yeah, so I know what system it is, and I read the manual. I'm like,
oh.
I didn't even think those things came with manuals. No. What the fuck? It was like, I didn't even think about that.
As the department head, I delegate you to take care of a lot of this shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, this year he was full on head of all of that, and I think it showed.
Yeah.
Absolutely showed that, you know, like I said, the sound and lights and everything went pretty. I didn't see anything that was that was an issue anywhere.
No, I don't think so. Well, the only thing that was an issue was that the side and rear LED washes were fixed on 100% magenta, and I couldn't change that. And I talked with the Phoenix, and that might have been some setting that got corrupted in their default plot for the lighting.
Okay.
But I don't think it really affected anything, which is why I didn't bother fixing it, because fixing it meant that I had to go in and then eliminate control of any of those lights and make them dark for the entire time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I don't care enough.
Yep. Well,
yeah, I think that's
for something like this, where it's either lights on or off, not a lot of spotlight work or anything like that, it was less of an issue. But
yeah, the only challenges were when we had the projector screen down, your encyclopedia show. And Reverend Matt's Monster Science and Nancy Magistad.
Mm-hmm.
Megastad.
Smith.
Smythe.
Smythe.
No,
but,
now that you mention it, when I was doing Fully Believable at the Phoenix, I did encounter some of that where the lighting was either, if it was bright enough to see, then the projector was getting washed out a little bit, and then if you dim the lights enough so you could really see the projector, then there was a weird color on stage. I kind of know what you're talking about with my limited knowledge of lighting and color. If it was noticeable to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, so that was really the only glaring issue. Mm-hmm. I'm really happy that we didn't seem to have any sound issues this year. Last year we had a
that we know about.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, we were not receiving texts from people saying, "Hey, the audio is just static," or "Hey, there is no audio," like we did last year.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think some of that was the live stream as well.
Could have been
because I know that they were having a problem with the live stream last year where it would get. Like the RAM would get maxed out, and so it would start to robot voice, and they'd have to basically constantly reboot the thing like frequently.
But yeah, I believe
I think there was streaming. A new software that they used too.
Well, yes. They also cleared a lot because that computer had a lot of shit on it.
Also,
but I believe they also said they were using
prior to Senpai, we didn't have a good solution for ambient microphones of. Especially like large scale improv sets.
Yeah.
So it was just basically, okay, this is a stand up comedy thing or a podcast. You're going to hear it. This one is an improv set. So sorry.
Maybe.
Unless they get real loud or real close to the microphones, you're out of luck. But you had come up with a solution that I gather worked really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it worked better this year. Last year, I had four microphones of a certain type that are more sensitive to the higher register.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
More around the sibilance area, whereas the mics we're speaking into and what most people use for vocal is more like the middle timbre, your vowel level. So the higher frequency sensitive mics are better for picking up things in the ambient area. So last year we had I had two in front on the floor because they are boundary microphones where they catch sound that reflects off of a boundary, and that was okay. And then we had two overheads from the sides, and the guy that Jim Lewis bought Fearless a couple of powered speakers from. Is a guy out on the west end of Minneapolis who runs an audio business. Oh. And
way out there.
Yeah, he had messaged me or emailed me afterwards saying that he listened in on the live stream and he had some suggestions about some ideas about what we could do to fix things. And I said, "Oh, well, that would be great. I would love to hear it." And so
yeah.
His suggestion was to take those boundary microphones in the front, at the foot of the stage and say, "Well, why don't you put them on a piece of plexiglass and hang it up above so you can actually catch the stuff hitting the scrim at the top, and that way you're not getting a bunch of footsteps, you're not getting a bunch And you're also not getting a lot of the audience from it.
Hmm. Right.
And so that's what I did this year, is I taped them up. It just happens that my wife has a bunch of 16 by 32 sheets of plexi for one of her presentations from the beginning of her final semester of grad school.
Oh. Oh.
And so I took one of them and taped the boundary mics to that and just hung it up behind the scrim as high as I could. Mm-hmm. And I think it worked out pretty well.
I didn't even know they were there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the only reason that I was like, oh, Senpai did a really good job, was somebody bumped into one of the standing mics at one point, and I was like, oh, shit, that mic is hot as fuck. And then I was like, oh, that's why the live stream sounded so good. Okay. Oh, all right. Well, oh, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was nice.
Well done.
Yeah, I suppose the only... one of the primary criticisms about my performance would probably be that, despite not being responsible for stage tech in any way, is that that didn't stop me from doing their jobs
right
for them.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I heard tell that there were some people that were wondering why I was back there doing their job for them.
Mm-hmm. It's not your job. Get out.
Mm-hmm.
No. And that's, I think, any time that you're splitting a department or trying to separate out various... There's always a bit of a learning curve for that.
Yeah.
So, like, and I mean, there's something to be said for doubling down and making sure that everything gets done, but it's also like in the learning process, you have to let the other group make mistakes in order to learn what it is that they need to do.
Those people are there to make your day less stressful.
Yeah, but
I see, and I know exactly where Stefan's coming from on this.
Oh, no, I understand. Yeah, no, I get it too.
Okay, we're all
don't get me wrong, I get it.
And you see the fun thing is that my live sound work career immediately after graduating with my sound engineering degree is that I worked for a curmudgeonly old retired radio broadcast engineer who did independent, you know, live sound reinforcement for smaller gigs. In his words, because they couldn't afford anyone with his skill if he actually charged them what he was worth.
Aww.
And he had a very particular way of doing things in that any way that he wanted me to do things was the way I was to do them.
Right.
This guy was a longtime friend of my parents, and that was my mother's advice to me as I started working for him. It's like, if he asks you to do anything, if he tells you any way to do anything, do it that way.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it worked out for 3 years until he finally got sick of running around doing stuff. But anyway, so yeah, the events that I worked for him for were things like the St. Paul Irish Fair and the Selby Jazz Festival and the Nativity County Fair at Nativity Catholic Church in St. Paul, where I was doing most of the stage tech stuff. Namely, the Nativity County Fair had, we tried to do really, really tight equipment swaps for acts in their thing because they had a real full lineup in the afternoon. And then at the St. Paul Irish Fair, we were responsible for a lot of the smaller event tents and whatnot. And so he really liked to be at the dance tent where he had a lot, you know, all the Irish step dancers and cloggers and whatnot. So he would do that and be able to do all the live music for that. And he said, okay, you go and manage the other ones. So I had, so I had five or six event tents that didn't need a lot of like active monitoring, but that was only good in that I could then leave and go and run to the next one and make sure the next event is
right. This explains much about you.
Yes, it absolutely
does. Yes, and the St. Paul Irish Fair was grueling. In I think the longest I was there was either 16 or 18 hours. One time when we had to be there between 6 or 7:30, and I ended up being there until midnight because the dude running the Kaylee Dance tent, who was another guy that my broadcast engineer boss had hired and was good friends with, but he had to leave earlier that evening, so they needed someone to manage the Kaylee tent, which closed at midnight. So I was there from about 7 o'clock to midnight that day, and it's like, that didn't seem odd, so I just rolled with it, and sort of that's kind of my expectation. And similarly, the Selby Jazz Festival is just a one-day thing where you load in at 6 a.m., things start at like 9 because that's how long tech load in takes, because they bring in a truck that folds out to be the stage, and then you had to have to add all the equipment, and then that thing goes from like 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then we have to load out again. So I am super used to ridiculously long days of load in and load out and running shit.
Here's the thing, though. For Die Laughing, you were not the employee running around doing everything. You got to be the curmudgeon, the old guy who sat at one place. Aww.
Yes, but...
But no, that's the, that's what I'm saying. Is
I trust my skills and abilities to, being the one running
you
around.
You were allowed to be the guy sitting in one place telling other people to go do shit.
Yes.
That's what you need to take out of this.
The student has become the master.
I am not the master. You learned the wrong lesson. See, the lesson you should have learned is become that guy.
Yes, but... I'm not smart enough for that. Jesus, no.
We know, sugar. Shh. It's okay. Shh.
I mean, are we going on a world scale, or are we going on a scale of people that are at Die Laughing? Because as far as that specific skill set, I feel like you pretty much top out. Like, you and Melissa can duke it out.
But I mean, hey, if we... If we keep getting more people volunteering for tech shifts that want to come in and learn, you know, actively learn stuff,
right? Yeah. We'll definitely get there.
I just need to figure out how to manage more Fearless Monthly workshops doing tech, and possibly in a venue that is not the community center at the Edina Lunds and Byerly's.
Right.
Or Burnsville, where we're banned.
Mm.
Well, one of our performances. Well, one of his shows.
Yeah.
I said at the beginning we weren't going to get too deep into this, and well,
too late.
Whoops. No, it's okay.
I told you to bring the long gloves.
Yeah, we'll try to. We don't want this to go too long, so we'll try to scrape a little shallower.
I managed to sleep both nights and was comfortable enough leaving Die Laughing to go back and work on your ceiling wiring. So
Yay.
Much better than last year.
Yeah,
nice. Much better than last year. Salsa, you were running a new department.
I was running a new department. So that was interesting. the whole process was me going, I guess I need to do this now. We would have our monthly meetings, and people would be talking about this and this, and I was like, oh, that sounds like a good idea. I should do that. that sounds like a really good idea. I'm gonna do that now. It absolutely was me muddling through as I went, and
I heard you had to redo something.
I had my tech sheets all figured out that I had put together, and I was like, this is really good. This should make things really easy for the stage hands to be able to take a look and just be like, this is what I need to do, and everything's great. And
then he included a series of checkboxes.
Jesus Christ, don't get me started
the thing is I would get somebody new backstage, you know, because it was volunteers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody new would get back there, and they'd look at it and go, okay, what is this? And I would explain to them, this is how this works, and they would go, oh, okay, that makes sense. But one of the things that especially Jenna should know, and James,
were there checkboxes?
No, but working in just IT and stuff like that,
right.
And with computers is UI. If UI is like a joke, if you need to explain it, it wasn't very good.
Correct. Right.
And so after the first couple volunteers came through, I looked at the sheets and went, okay.
This is the part that keeps tripping people up.
Exactly. Yep. This is why people are getting confused. This is where it isn't intuitive. Mm-hmm. Now I know, having seen it in action, where the problems are. And so I was up until 4:30 in the morning on 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, redoing the whole thing.
Oh shit.
I was downstairs in the hospitality room with
my computer. Hopefully you didn't include all the acts that had gone from 7
p.m. I started with the next act coming on stage. And as soon as I finished the first page, I printed it out and I got it upstairs. That way, like as soon as possible. That way,
nice.
Our third stage person at that point, he got it as soon as it was ready. It was like, here's the new sheet.
Salsa's just running upstairs with a completed book Sunday night at 10.
I got it! It's done! So it's going to be... Oh!
So I got that first page out to him as soon as possible, as soon as I was done with the page. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it was just me redoing. And I think I got to Sunday morning, and that's when I went, I'm going to finish this tomorrow, because this will get us through... for a while, and I'll find some hours.
Because you're not going to be sleeping to Sunday morning.
Exactly.
So,
So I redid that all, and it seemed to make a huge difference, because from that point on, people seemed to get it a lot.
Very cool.
Much quicker.
Good.
Wow. Obviously, there's going to be some things that we'll have to change for next year. I've already got notes on not just the sheets, but the process of getting that information and knowing how things work. And so next year, I think it'll be a lot better. But this has been a huge learning curve for all of us, especially me.
How did you like having the stage snake on the stage?
That was fantastic.
I know, right? Holy
fuck.
That
was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
What's a stage snake?
Stage snake is...
Because it sounds like a date I had.
For the mics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stage Snake is a bundle of microphone cables that is wrapped inside a larger cable.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And typically there is a box that has all of the female connectors.
Say it slow.
Hot.
All the female connectors in one place, and you then run that back to your board or wherever your connection is, and then you can plug them in to your board.
Instead of running every cable straight to the board.
Yeah, so it consolidates and they can be very long. And so whereas the Phoenix has a snake, a digital snake, upstage.
You
stage
are absolutely
left,
killing James right now.
Good. Yep. they have their stage microphone connection upstage right, which is better than trying to run straight from the booth, which is back in the audience.
Yeah.
But it's still hard when you're trying to run cables to a bunch of microphones, particularly eight, for a big 3-hour fucking long podcast crossover episode.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Who the fuck would do that?
Oh my god.
But so a friend of mine has a stage snake that he doesn't use that often.
God, the poor thing.
And he was very kind enough to let me borrow it. give it some sun, give it some light, let it warm up. snack on some stage mice.
Yep.
Right.
And he put the head of it.
Uh-huh.
Right front and center.
Just the tip?
Yep, just the tip of it was right front and center in the middle of the stage.
Oh, yeah.
So it was much more convenient, and that's typically what people... That's what professionals do.
That's what people want, is a convenient snake.
All right.
So yeah, that is gonna keep being something that we continue to do, because God, it made things so much better.
That really seemed like I was just watching. Yeah. I don't know if you knew this, but like I actually watch people do their jobs sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Oh shit!
Mm-hmm.
I know, sucker.
Gonna get
I've
fired.
Got some notes for you. No, you're not. I don't want to do it.
No, because she's got notes for your boss too.
Yeah.
Damn it! That means I have to do it next year.
I watched that happen and I was like, that's real slick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That is super slick.
Oh yeah.
So,
other than that, there's, I mean, again, don't want to get too far into details, but some of the backstage, duties,
So I'm a child for giggling at Snake.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. No, you're a child for dying.
Yes.
Fuck. The problem is I'm laughing at both. Is the right? It's the I'm both laughing at Big Snake and duties.
But you know, I mean, I had a vision in my head for how things were going to work, and inevitably it didn't. And so now I can go take what I learned this year and go, okay, this is how we're going to do it next year, and it'll be much better. So,
okay.
Interesting. So yeah, that was stage tech.
What did you do, James?
I hosted. I recovered. I coordinated a 4-person exchange on a single cot. Essentially, is that like 4 people would swap in to a single cot space. It was interesting.
You're actually going to have a department next year, James.
Cot swapping?
Yep.
No.
That's way filthier than
what happened.
I was impressed at how difficult it was to get all the names in the little area
on the
check-in.
Uh-huh.
We do. So I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit.
What?
One of the things that happens during Die Laughing is sometimes we sleep. I know, this sounds weird. But to facilitate this, we have a specific room at the Phoenix. By the way, listeners who are local, if you're looking to rent a rehearsal space, the Phoenix Theater has space.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go talk to them. They've got reasonable rates. They've got usually have pretty much something available most of the time. Although if you're doing a fringe thing, you might want to talk to them now about rehearsal space because they will get booked up. But
and they're awesome.
Underneath, they have there's the main level with the stage and everything else, and then the basement level has several different rooms, and one of the rooms, the biggest room, because there's a lot of us, becomes a sleeping space. We tried a new thing for sleeping space this year where we had names for each cot, and you had a little marker for when you were sleeping, and if you wanted a wake-up call, you put the time down, and I think that worked pretty slick.
Worked fantastic.
Yeah. I got woken up both the times that I requested.
Yeah.
Mm. Actually, I have weird PTSD things. So I had my phone set to vibrate under all of my covers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I woke anybody up with it. I think that I did a good job.
You only
with
needed
that.
To wake up one person with it.
Right. That's so, I would just have my phone on vibrate underneath everything because people waking me up can sometimes be a dangerous thing.
Right.
So, but it seemed to work super well for everybody. And, so when James was talking about cot sharing, he coordinated who was sleeping on his sleeping space at what time and all of these other things. So
a couple of people came to me and they were like, I talked to the coordinator and this is the situation. And I was like, all right, okay, we'll get it figured out.
Yeah.
Well, even though it is a big room, there's a lot of us.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
There's so many.
We did run out of
space,
are
a company of 50 plus people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So even though the room is pretty decently sized, 50 cots are not going to fit in that room.
No.
I think we had... I should have gotten some numbers, but 20 or so, maybe?
I was going to say, 18.
Yeah.
18 to 20.
Easily, yeah.
And that was a pretty decent number. Yeah. And there
the
were
space
few
was
us,
well used and well organized.
Yeah, there were a few of us that shared. I actually shared with somebody because she only had a specific time that she needed, and I was like, I guarantee you I will be awake during that time, so please have at.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I think James facilitated sleep for the most number of people, so which he can put on his Tinder profile. but yeah, no. Next year, James, I want you to be my website person.
Can do.
I'm going to have personal minions.
Don't
next
get
year.
Pneumonia next time.
I really,
seriously.
I really enjoyed working on that stuff for you and helping.
I have more things that need to happen, and I have ideas. So
good.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. I was actually going to ask you for help last week, and then you got sick, and I was like, nope, I'm just going to do this.
Pretty fucking desperately ill.
Yeah. So, anyway. I did event coordination.
Mm-hmm. There is something that I want to give a shout out about, but that can wait for our shout out.
I think we should wait on the shout out. I'm trying to, first we're doing department things.
No, and then I was talk just about rolling through and it we'll, and, yeah. and thinking about it.
Yeah. You've got paper, red note.
Yep.
So I did event coordination this year, again, for the fifth year in a row, because it's my baby. I think it actually went pretty smooth this year overall. There are some timing things that I want to fix for next year. But the thing is that once we get to Die Laughing, if I've done my job right, I don't need to do much else during Die Laughing. Like, my job is to make sure everything is set up and ready to go so that when the event happens, it goes. There are some things that I had to take care of. I was the first person there for load-in, and I was the last one to leave, because that's my job. I tell people what to put where. There was a miscommunication on tables, so we got tables figured out. There was, you know...
Well, somebody's was broken, too.
Was that what happened?
One of them got broken at the end. One of mine got broken at the end. Okay. But one of the tables that was supposed to come originally was broken.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So, yeah. No, there were two broken tables. Mm-hmm. One happened before the event. One happened after. I'm now minus a table. Oh, woe is me. End of Die Laughing last year, I was up a table. So I guess it's all a wash this year.
Sure.
There was table coordination, so like fixing that issue, and then there was some problems with the live stream during the event, and as the website person this year, but not next year.
Okay.
I was the one that needed to make sure to get that fixed and resolved. And then just bits and bobs, some miscommunications happen here or there, whatever. So I did not feel super stressed at pretty much. I think there were a couple of points where I was like, but otherwise, and a nap or some food helped with those, really. Mm-hmm. I think that things actually ran pretty fucking smooth this year.
Well done.
All things considered. So that is a major win for me. And for everybody else that did all of the things, which meant that, like, seriously, my job at Die Laughing is just to be the person to tell people, okay, this needs to happen. You do it. I don't work. I just make other people work. I am the laziest.
Taking notes there, Stefan.
I am the laziest person during Die Laughing. Like, and I say that, and people
he
are
actually
like,
left for a moment before taking notes and came back to check in on us and make sure that everything was okay, and then took the note. Motherfucker.
But no, like I joke about being the laziest person during Die Laughing. That's because I'm not supposed to be working.
Yeah, all of your work is front-end loaded.
I should not be doing things aside from, like, you know, the website was my baby this year. Mm-hmm. That's one of the other things too. Anytime I find myself working during Die Laughing, I try to calculate out, okay, is this something that somebody else can handle next year? Like, my job is to literally get rid of my work.
Well, I mean, like, it's like building a car. It's a complex bit of machinery, but if you've done your job well, once it's on the road, you don't need to be there. It just does what it's supposed to do.
There's an oil change every once in a while, and that's it, right?
You can put it in someone else's hands.
Yeah. It's
Yeah.
It's done. It does what it's supposed to do,
exactly.
And now you can go do something else.
So, yeah. I'll joke about being the laziest person, but there's also like the adage, like, the best programmers are the lazy people.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
because their entire existence is trying to find ways to make things happen without their needing to do anything.
Mm-hmm. That's like the Dave Attell thing. Like, I'm not gonna trust just anyone to give me a shortcut. I'm gonna look for the dude with like one leg to give me the shortcut. Mm-hmm. He's not gonna have me hopping any fences.
Yeah,
right. that was, as far as departmentally, that was my Die Laughing. Like, I didn't have to yell at anybody. I didn't have to, there were a couple of volunteer issues that people sorted out themselves, which I again, I keep myself available. Yay. If you need a volunteer, like, I will step in for things. Mm-hmm. Like, that's
I ended up doing the same.
Yeah, I feel like that's a part of my job, is being a backup for these volunteer things. Mm-hmm.
So does this mean you might actually perform in vilification tennis next year?
You know what? I told Tim that I was available for vilification tennis, and he was like, you're going to be too busy. And I'm like, no, I told you I'm available. Don't tell me that I'm not available when I tell you that I'm available. Don't mansplain my own fucking schedule to me,
I'm
asshole.
Only doing 5 things during that hour.
Besides, we've got your daughter now. We don't need you.
Oh,
that part's accurate. Right. That part is accurate. Right.
Everybody pack
I'm
up, go
derailing
home.
For that's... just one moment. Yes. My daughter fucking killed
didn't she
it.
Though?
Wreckville.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Which is not a surprise to anyone, because that's what she does.
That's what right. she does all the time.
Word around the bathroom.
Like, I think that was one of her stronger shows in the, and she's always done strong shows. So yeah. That's one of the strongest shows she's done in a while, and she fucking crushed it.
Yeah.
Her on-the-spot insults were fucking gold.
Yeah, those were amazing.
I think one of my favorites was Angela Fox, who, for those who know her, she's just this delightful human being who is just perky and positive, and so kind. She is one of the kindest people on the face of the planet. She's like, your daughter is filthy. I'm like, yeah.
Right.
She was amazing. I'm like, yeah. Like, but yeah, no, Jessa just killed it a lot. That was the only derail that I wanted there.
That's
was
fine.
That
yeah, no worries.
Jessa was amazing.
Do you have more to say, or should we?
About event coordination? Not really.
Okay. I tell you what then we will do is we will quickly do a... Yes?
I just wanted to say congratulations to Kyle Decker really quickly.
We're still talking about Die Laughing,
oh, okay.
James. We're not
oh, okay.
moving away from
oh,
that.
Right.
We're just moving on to
okay.
other portions of
okay.
Die Laughing.
Yeah, no, this will we'll give you a chance for
okay.
that. We want
no worries.
Let's quickly move through, and we'll do a round robin of our favorite moments.
Yep.
And
sure.
and I want to move this along, because there's a fuck ton.
Well, yep. This will be mine.
So try to keep it under a minute.
Yeah.
And no then worries. We'll just go around for a few, and then we'll see what we got. So go ahead, and you go first.
Kyle and I have participated in Pun Slams before, and I found out that he has a history of being a bridesmaid. He always makes it to the final round and then gets second.
Yep.
This
sometimes
Pun
to
Slam...
You.
Sometimes to me. This Pun Slam, we ended up in the top two again, and he just... trounced me, like, just completely stomped me.
Finally, nice. His moment.
It was. He finally his turn to be a beautiful bride, and he was phenomenal. And I got to share the stage doing that with Skullhead, and
ooh,
also with,
he's a fierce competitor,
right?
Though, yeah.
And
yeah.
and also Jason Kruger, who is
oh,
also amazing.
I believe that. Yeah.
So
I've never seen it, but I believe it.
And the crowd was. Hilarious and vicious and wonderful,
nice.
And Kyle just he did a fucking phenomenal job,
right,
and I'm
awesome.
So proud of him.
Cool. Stefan.
It's magic time!
What? Was I asleep?
You must have
Fearless Lab.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Fearless Lab is a part of the last couple hours where I'm running around and making sure box office is taken care of.
Yep. All right.
So Kayla and James were... Their sets in Fearless Lab at the end were absolutely fantastic.
Glad.
Kayla's songs were
They were
beautiful and vicious and
yes,
accurate and just the absolute kind of thing that we want and need.
I'm so happy she found us.
Absolutely.
Oh,
it was,
yes,
it was amazing,
both
so,
for us and for her.
Yeah. And so yeah, I was supremely happy with that. Mm-hmm. And then 8 minutes about farts from James with
all
right.
Yeah,
no
I missed
one is
that.
Surprised. No, you weren't there for it. You didn't miss it.
Well, okay.
Jenna.
Oh God. honestly the absolute best moment for me. It's going to go slightly over a minute. Okay. But as far as performances, things that I saw and was involved with, Lounge Lizzie.
Yes.
So one of the things that Lounge Lizzie does is she auctions off, because it's a fundraiser, mm-hmm. for poor people. Not that she knows what that's like. She's not going to give her own money, but, you know, because she likes money. But she auctions off whoever, you know, the highest bidder gets to go on a stage and have her sing a song about them. And I got into a bidding war with Kyle Decker. and with some assistance from Jim Lewis. Oh. Like, every once in a while, like, things was, Jim would just be like, yeah, I got more money for that. And I was like, fuck you. You fuck you. So eventually I gave in. I went, like, we got over $100
it
on this
like
spot.
It was like $145.
I think we got up to $140.
Wow. Like, there was a couple times where Jenna was starting to cave, and I was like, Jenna, and held up a 20, and she's like, more
people, people in the audience started offering me it's money to awesome. Put into this bid.
To beat Kyle.
To beat Kyle. And eventually I was like, no, I've got to give it. He is not stopping.
Nope.
So Kyle won the bid, and then he gave the spot to me.
Oh.
Yeah. Sweet.
Right? Like, even that right there made me just, oh, God.
Also,
okay.
the look on Aaron's face while this was going on.
Oh, my God. I'm pretty sure she dropped character at one point. She's like, what the actual shit is going on right now?
Like around $100, like, she was like fluffing her boobs and like, yeah, this is great. Around 150, she was like, you guys know we're gonna do this again, right? Like, seriously.
What the fuck? Yeah. So Kyle gave me the spot, and I went up, mm-hmm. and now here's the thing. I know the performer behind Lounge Lizzie. And, you know, she's a very good friend of mine. So she goes to sing this song for me. And she, you know, she starts off pretty nice, but then, like, suddenly from behind me, I feel breasts rubbing up against the back of my head, which is now my profile picture. Yep. So go check that out, everybody.
Oh,
no, I was just like, it was so funny. Whoa. And my hair got caught in her sequins, but meh. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, yeah.
At one point, she's singing at me, and I just turn my head, and her mouth is right here. Like, we could have made out right there on stage. We were that close, and the microphone was, like it. Yeah, so there was that. And then, like, she sat in my lap and sang at me at one point. Aww. She was... Yeah, she ended it, and this was a beautiful theatrical moment. Mm-hmm. She ended it with my head in her boobs, which, mm-hmm. I mean, that was just a beautiful moment. But my glasses became askew like right. this in the process, so I just come out of her cleavage with my glasses askew. And I had to readjust. The audience lost their shit.
And then you had to readjust?
No, I had to. Like, my dick was swollen. There was no semi about that.
I would like to note, while all of this was going on, the song she was singing was fucking gold.
Oh, my God. And yeah, that's just the best part, is like, the song, like, it could have been. And she asked me what my favorite food was, and I was like, it's sushi. So the chorus became raw fish.
Oh.
As she's rubbing up against me. Right. In the most, like, yeah. She left all of the subtext. Right. She just left it there. But yeah. 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 So good. So that was the first part of it. But then at the end of the show, she actually dropped character and basically called me out on stage and thing to me. She keeps crediting me with Lounge Lizzie being a thing, because it started a few years ago, mm-hmm. when I needed a last minute act, and we put out the call to the enablers, and she messaged me. She's like, well, I've got this idea. I'm like, do it. She's like, well, I don't know if it's going to be good. I'm like, do it. Fucking do it. So she did it, and that's how long she's like, I'm gonna need a keyboardist. I'm like, message Shad Dutton, you're good. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, it was just, this is what you're doing, this is how, just fucking, and yep. And she did it, and it was incredible. And now this year she's in the Twin Cities Improv Festival for Lounge Lizzie.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Right? And she keeps crediting me, and I'm like, I just gave you the opportunity. You're the one that made this a thing. But she completely made me cry on stage, and I don't like crying in general, let alone in front of people. So she's a bitch, and I hate her.
So funny story about Lounge Lizzie.
Shit.
God All damn right. it.
So
real quick,
keep it short. Yeah,
so All right. fast.
For one reason or another, when they said that they needed a wireless mic for Lizzie. Plus another mic. I got it in my head that Eric was going to need it. So I told Salsa to put the microphone, to tell the tech to put the microphone over by the table that Eric was going to sit at. And then probably about 1.5 to 3 songs in, Chad calls out like, "Hey, Lizzie, why don't I have a mic? Shouldn't I be singing this?" And as Lizzie, she's like, "Oh, yeah, what the fuck do you have this microphone for? This goes over here and fucking stage techs," and something like that. And it was like this offhand remark. And 3 times across the rest of the weekend, Erin sought me out and said, "I want you to know that I was doing that in character."
I know, she's such a sweetheart.
And then she bought me a spa package in addition with a fucking paragraph saying, "I hope you understand that this was a joke."
And
she's
such a sweetheart.
I know, it was adorable, and I forgave her every single time, and still, it was very sweet.
Yeah, she's super sweet. Salsa, go.
I will keep mine short. During the Lyritics set.
Oh,
which
yes.
I missed.
First of all, check out the Lyritics because they're fucking amazing.
100%.
At one point I leaned over to Matt and I was like, I would buy this album in a second, and I would put it on my shelf right next to MC Frontalot's album because fuck. Mm-hmm. But the I don't remember what was next, but a bunch of us were next. Mm-hmm. And so we're backstage as they're doing their last song. And we're back there behind the curtain.
I was there for it too, so it had to be something.
I don't remember. But it was like me and Matt and Megan and...
It was a challenge half hour.
Kayla Soda... Oh,
yeah,
that's
was.
What it
was.
Okay.
Yep.
And Kayla Soda Beer was back there, and Jenna, and I don't even remember who else was back there. But we are like...
Matt.
Jamming and just we're like dancing and having a little mini like dance party behind
awesome.
The curtain just because it was so much fun and joyful, and we were just and like we got done, we were just like, that just happened, and that was awesome,
and that song did get stuck in my head.
So
the name of the song was "This Song Gets Stuck in Your Head," so James.
Another round.
Make
Keep going.
I fucking loved watching the stream this year. When I was not there, when I went home to sleep, or you know, wherever I was that wasn't in the Phoenix, or even when I was working the box office, watching the stream, especially the audio came across so beautifully during your Questionable Choices show, Salsa.
Oh, thank you.
When Megan stepped up to eat glass.
Oh yeah, you're welcome. I turned
I
up the mic
that.
For that.
Did you? Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, thank
fucking
you so much.
Yes. That's already, like, I didn't watch the show. I didn't see the stream, but I heard them talk about it after the fact.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, this is why I didn't, because that's like nails on a chalkboard to me. That
or like
is,
glass and teeth, yeah. Well, it was.
The best part was that it just kept going.
Yes. Yeah. Oh.
Well, I mean, my thing is very specifically with things against teeth.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, yeah.
So it is very much so I can't even, like, people chewing hard candy is...
Right.
Is,
yeah.
Well, like, I'm sitting in the booth, and Nancy's nephew is there, and he's running around screaming, doing, you know, nephew things. And he, I turn up the volume on this thing, and he comes over, and he's like, "What is going on?" Because this was immediately after I had been like, "Hey, kid, come take a look at this. This guy's going to put a sword in his whole body. Just watch this." And he's like, "Well, it's a trick sword." And I was like, "No, it's not. No, it's not." And then you took the bow, and he was like, "Oh!" Yeah, it was fantastic. But then, like, the glass part, he's just watching it, and Nancy's like, No. No. It's not. No.
Like, we had talked about it, and Megan is a newer performer. She doesn't perform a lot. She's more of a writer. But this was one of the things that she wanted to do to really, you know, to become more comfortable being a performer and mm-hmm. getting on stage. And one of the things, we were talking about it, and she was like, hey, Matt, can you say some stuff while I'm doing this? Because I've got glass in my mouth. I can't talk. And we were like, no. No. Nobody is going to be talking during this because we need to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We need to hear every crunch. I didn't know you turned up the mics. Thank you for doing that because, yeah, everyone was cringing. It was great.
It was potent.
So. Stefan, what do you got?
Reverend Matt's Monster Science, always amazing. His research, his slides, his writing, his delivery is astounding. The absolutely horrendous recording of his Godzilla monsters at Die Laughing 3 is still a joy to watch.
Yeah.
Regardless, and I had the pleasure of being tech for him for the first Fearless Presents last September. That was amazing, and this last one on Rampage, and just video game dinosaurs in general good. Was astounding. It's always awesome. Always a pleasure to watch him present.
Oh, yeah.
Jenna?
God, if we're talking about shows, I really didn't get to see a lot.
Doesn't have to be shows. Just favorite moment.
I did have... You know what? I think my absolute favorite moment for, like, any kind of show prep or anything like that was right before the White Male Privilege Nash show. Which I'm going to have to talk more about. I'm sorry. That's a thing that's happening later.
Paul Abdullah. Oh, my God.
Yes. I know. That was amazing. Paul Abdullah was incredible. They were all incredible.
Yes, absolutely.
But if you're going to talk about that, do you mind if I go really quick? And then we'll...
Go.
Then
and we'll then we can start into a show thing.
All right, okay. Well,
Okay, it's also good.
I had Piz Poor.
Yes.
It was fucking great.
I didn't get to see him at all.
And were you there, Stefan?
I was drilling shit in my ceiling.
Good. because Piz Poor proceeded to dump an entire glass of water on the stage, and then his marionette pissed, like, right next to the snake head. And I was seriously, like, my butthole puckered up, and I was like, please tell me he missed that thing, and I'm so glad Stefan's not really here. And the thing is he's so fucking funny that I couldn't even be mad at him.
No, yeah.
But...
Things to put on the tech form next year. Does your act include water?
Yeah. Do you have peeing puppets?
Yeah, but so Piz Poor
got... call it water sports.
Yeah. Whoa. No.
Piz Poor got done. I had just a little bit of time left where I needed to finish out a volunteer shift. I finished my shift. I go to, like, Matt and Megan and another couple friends are sitting there in the audience, and I'm like, I gotta go to bed, because I'm fucking exhausted. I need sleep. And I start to walk back. Ladies and gentlemen, Mary Jo Peel! And I was like, well, fuck.
Yep.
And so I walk back into the audience, and, like, the group, they look up at me, and they're like, I thought you were going to bed, and all I do is point at the stage. And they go, oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, obviously, yeah.
So, all right, go ahead.
Okay, White Male Privilege Dance. So you do the little pre-show get-together thing like a half an hour beforehand, your little call time, talk through what's going to happen, how things are going to run. And specifically for White Male Privilege Dance show, this is why I have to do more for this than just talk about the moment. White Male Privilege Dance show is a show that encourages dudes to do things that they don't otherwise get an opportunity to do, which is to dance
provocatively
in any style. Yeah. It's not just provocative. To dance, just straight up, that's it. Because guys in our society is not seen as a masculine thing. Dance is not seen as masculine. So the whole point of White Male Privilege Dance Show is to give guys an opportunity to do something that is not seen as masculine. It is, in its own way, a way of attacking toxic masculinity within our society on a very different level than we normally try to attack these things. So, White Male Privilege Snatch Show. I get a bunch of guys. Most of them are just insecure about societal standards and being men dancing. A lot of them have body issues. They don't see themselves as pretty or graceful because that's not a thing that we talk about. We don't talk about guys being beautiful. We don't talk about guys being graceful or, you know, attractive in those kinds of terms. Like, so these are guys that, that don't think they're graceful and they don't, they have body issues. And, I mean, for some of them, they're not even performers. Like, I had two guys up mm-hmm. that don't perform really outside of this. And I'm surrounded by this group of guys that are doing something that scares them shitless. Like, absolutely shitless. Even one of them, who is a performer, was like, this is the thing that is scaring me the most about this entire weekend. And I'm surrounded with these guys. And I there's a moment of being overwhelmed by their trust in me for this show and their courage in doing this show. And I'm about to talk to these guys, and one of them goes, dude, are you taping up, like, robot pasties? And I just fucking lose my personal shit. I'm like, yep, and there's where the comedy comes in. This is what makes this so ridiculously, awkwardly, wonderfully beautiful. Like, that was just that moment of, yeah. Because it's, I'm thinking of this show and, like, all of these higher levels of attacking toxic masculinity and providing opportunity. Dude, are those robot pasties? Fuck yes. Fuck yes. And that's where it all gets consolidated down into why this is something that should be done with Fearless. Mm-hmm. Because fucking robot pasties. I got nothing outside of that.
Yeah.
The show itself was amazing and incredible. Everybody did a really good job. I was about 5 minutes short on my time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think we made the right call. James was sick and couldn't perform. But yeah, everybody did an incredible job. I want to go through the list, but I can't. I'm going to forget something. We had the Toxic Avenger. Mm-hmm. We had Paul Abdullah, which, again, not all of them are provocative. Like, we had Paul Abdullah was one of the guys. I'm not going to use any of their names,
right,
but one of the did 90s style dancing, like, studied Paula Abdul and did her dance moves.
Nice.
We had somebody do a Superman thing to Kryptonite.
Right.
So that was burlesque. We then had ballet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To Castle in the Cloud. And it was so pretty.
That was.
It was so pretty. He did an incredible job with that.
No clothing removed for that.
Yeah, no clothing removed.
Like a just sweet, beautiful thing.
Sweet, pretty dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had a stripping robot.
Uh-huh.
We had a pole dancing Tyrannosaurus. slowly deflating.
Oh, yeah.
Pole dancing dinosaur. Like, pole dancing Scottish dinosaur, because why the fuck not?
Right.
And then we had a glittery crab dancing to Shiny. Most of those people were, I mean, again, there was not a lot of clothing removal involved in the majority of those numbers. Mm-hmm. There was a costume change. There was I had technically three clothing removals because the dinosaur removed his kilt.
I saw, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, otherwise, it was just these guys doing graceful and funny dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even. There were a few people that actually saw it this year that hadn't seen it in years past, and they were like, holy shit, that's like a message thing, but it's also fun, like, it belongs here. And I'm like, yeah, that's my boys. Like, just, and it is to me one of the most fearless things that occurs over the course of the weekend.
I absolutely love that Mansheen won
by
3 times
right
the amount raised by second place.
Right. Well, and he worked for it. You can tell he put the time into. And that's the big thing is that for a lot of these, the people that win are the ones that put the time into making sure. Like, they're not like, I'm just going to go up and try this. And I get that, like, a lot of guys, like, they kind of, like, close up. Like, you get that anxiety thing where you can't move forward. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you have to be on stage. I totally get that. But a lot of the acts that do the best in these are the ones that put the time into the performance and figure out how they're going to make things go. And he definitely did that. Like, every single piece of that costume was like, and I'm going to move my leg in this exact manner and this thing is going to come off.
Yeah.
It was impressive. I'm stupid proud of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Having done two of these and being the reason it happened in the first place.
One of two reasons.
I'm half the reason.
I would say one of three.
Yeah, fair. You're right. That first year, it was just I'm going to go do this thing. And the second year, after seeing what everybody else had done, it was like, oh no, I need to
step up my fucking game.
Yeah, like choreography and a lot of planning goes into that. And you're absolutely right. Both years that I did it, it was the most terrifying thing. Yeah. And both years, I was so glad that I did it.
And my entire job in that is to try to foster a supportive, encouraged environment. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I do a decent job at it, but the audience really just fucking, they're just in for it. They're like, fuck to the yes, this is happening, and it is awesome. Mm-hmm. So,
we should wrap this up. Keep 30 seconds.
Okay. I wrote a show with one of my best friends and two extremely talented local performers and dropped it on stage at 8 in the morning, and we had a wonderful audience. We had a great reaction, and I was so fucking
proud.
That was
a lot of fun.
And I was extremely pleased to work with them.
Cool. All right. We will come back with an outro, and then we're going to get some sleep. How's that sound? We'll be right back. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
And we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Stefan.
Yay!
And hey, what? It was a really long weekend.
Yeah. Holy shit.
And you already know what we're going to say, but the only reason we got through this was because of coffee.
Agreed.
So true.
And, my God, agreed.
And holy shit, True Stone really came through in the clutch for us all, I think. I think, Stefan, nod your head if it came through for you, too.
Yes!
Yes, True Stone came through for all of us. There is no bigger endorsement than saying we did 50 hours of comedy and True Stone got us through that. Anything else we say is
powered by True Stone has never been more accurate.
Apropos.
So
no.
Apropos. Yes.
God. Shit.
So you already know the spiel. True Stone Coffee is an amazing local roaster of coffee, and you can get all sorts of stuff off of their website, truestonecoffee.com. And if you use the promo code
Apropos,
I believe it's spelled apropos.
Then you can
get porpoise.
Yes. then you can get 10% off of your order and get that coffee that you crave so you can do stupid shit just like we do.
Yay!
Hey, let's get right into our shout-outs.
Agreed.
Does anybody...
I'm ready.
Right, Jenna's got it.
I am also ready.
And I do have two, but I'll try to make it quick.
That's okay.
The first one that I have to do is a shout-out to the Boothie Love Shack. Because, holy shit. Those guys showed up like 15 minutes after I did for Load In for Die Laughing, and they left 15 minutes before I did at the end. They were there consistently throughout the weekend, volunteering, putting in time. covering shifts that other people didn't show up for. And only one of the four of them was a member.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones, just out of the goodness of their heart, just showed up and did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely have, this weekend would not have happened without them. Just straight up. So thank you guys. Also, I have to give a shout out to Jessa. My daughter is both supportive and patient with my shenanigans. And Die Laughing being, of course, like the biggest one of all. She's had to, leading up to it, deal with me being like, I'm sorry, I can't do this thing. I have to focus on this Die Laughing thing. She shows up.
You want to come outside and play catch with me?
No, I got to
do this Die Laughing thing.
Catching the cradle and the silver spoon.
Except the problem is that I'm busy creating a playground for her. So it's kind of like, I mean, she got to do two shows over the weekend. Like,
yeah. Mom, I don't know when.
So, yeah, but I mean, she still has to deal with me taking the time to build that playground on the way up. So not only did she have to deal with that going into it, she volunteered a lot. And she can't spend the overnights in the theater because she's not a member yet, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So she crashed at a friend's house around the corner, and then just came back and did more volunteering.
Yeah.
And she was there fairly consistently, making sure that things got done. She was gopher for a bit. She worked box office for a bit. She ran errands. She fucking everything. And she was also there. I suppose I say I was the first one there, but she was actually the first one there because she walked in the door before I did. And she was also second to last to leave because she left with me. So. She helped make all of that go, and she is infinitely patient and exceptionally talented. And I have to give her a shout out for this weekend. So
cool.
Who's next?
I want to do two really quick. One is just also Boothies.
Oh my God, yes.
I love you so much. All of you. And then the other one is new members.
Oh, my God.
Our new members, including one of the Boothies, our new members, people who have joined like within the last month, 2 months.
Couple of months, yeah.
All fucking stepped up. Yeah. And they were absolutely incredible. Not just in their assistance, but their willingness to step up and perform things that scared them. And that's... Mm-hmm. Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Shout out to the tech volunteers for Die Laughing. Both for coming in and just doing a thing, and also for putting up with me randomly coming around and doing your job for you at random times during your shifts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stealthily senpaiing.
Uh-huh. We have taken chunks out of this group throughout this, but I want to give a big shout out to all of the volunteers.
Fuck yes.
As a whole. We literally could not do this without our volunteers. And these people did not get paid. They did not get, you know, kickbacks or anything. Some of them didn't even get to watch the show because they were volunteering in places that didn't allow them to see the show. And yet people showed up. Hundreds and hundreds of hours of volunteer shifts needed to be filled by people that weren't getting anything in return other than being able to be a part of it. And they showed up and they helped us get through everything, and we did it because of them. So for every single person who volunteered, even if it was only half an hour, thank you so very, very much.
100%.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
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 How about a Fast Five?
Fast Five!
Wait.
What?
That's Fast Five backwards.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I haven't been here for 2 years. I've had a lot of time to figure out ways to fuck with your
mind. Damn it.
Your pro.
All right.
Fine, we'll have you on more often. Jesus Christ.
You can be replaced, senpai.
Very easily, actually.
I'll just live tweet things again.
damn it.
Senpai noticed us.
All right.
For those that do not know how this works, what a Fast Five is you, that's right, you, the dear listener, sends us five choices. We do not know what these choices mean. We only have the choices. And then after we have gone through and decided which one we like the best, based on whatever fucked up criteria we think you might have meant, which inevitably we're wrong about, that's when we open up the second email and find out if we were right and if we really want to change our answers.
Who is so, right?
Yeah, we know the joke.
And who is
right? This week, ours was sent in by Mrs. Mudstuffin.
Part of the
ones she sent in a while back. By the way, we are starting to run a little slim. If you have a Fast Five that you would like to send us, do so. And I will tell you at the end how to do that.
Feeding a baby in the middle of the night.
Indeed. We need to get through these. Our first one is crossword or Sudoku.
Sudoku.
Crossword all day. Word puzzles.
I'm a crossword guy.
I was doing Sudoku on my honeymoon.
Sudoku.
Explains much.
Kind of.
You had a day
Back when I was in elementary school, they had these magazines that were puzzle magazines. Mm. And they had the Sudoku puzzle in them, but they weren't called Sudoku. It was just this number puzzle. And I loved them. And it was only until after college that the Sudoku craze hit. And I was like, those things, I remember those. And I've loved them ever since I was seriously a teenager.
It was like fourth grade where I was introduced to, I had an entire segment on Japanese culture.
Oh, nice.
And one of the things that she taught us about was Sudoku. Like, we had to do a Sudoku homework assignment type thing. And I was like, yes, this is my thing now. And it's one of those more meditative games that I play.
I've been a fan of Sudoku for the last 25 years or something like that.
But crossword is
still my baby. Like, crossword is still the thing that I keep coming back to. I have an app on my phone for crossword. Crossword just is what I do. I love it.
I do have both.
Porque no los dos.
All right. Stephen? Question.
I said Sudoku.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't hear.
Question number two. Board or card?
Oh, son of a bitch. Don't make me choose. I'm going to go card.
They both really have their place.
Yeah. I'm going to go card, and here's why. It's like, I grew up with the Bruce kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Stephen Bruce has several children. Stephen Bruce is also a tournament-winning poker player who is no longer allowed to participate in the Minnesota tournament.
Yep.
So I grew up learning how to play cards, specifically like spades, vid, and poker, with the Bruce children. Cards,
so you know how to skunk them.
I do. Well, not them specifically, but most other people. I'm one of the few people that Alira will allow to babysit her hand if she needs to go to the bathroom. So I feel like I enjoy board games, but I am like nerd about card games.
Yeah.
Like, I am a super nerd about card games, so.
I think board games are fucking fun as hell, and I love them to death, but the versatility of a deck of cards.
There is that.
Yeah.
You can play dozens and dozens and dozens of games with a deck of cards. Mm-hmm. With a board game, you're playing that game. Yeah. And the other thing is, with a deck of cards, you can then do some sleight of hand.
Favorite game to teach people uses a standard deck of cards. So I have to go with that. And it's more likely that you'll find that than your favorite board game.
Yep.
Anywhere you go.
Much less, much cheaper too.
Here she was talking about like Munchkin or some shit.
Right. We'll find out.
But card games is what I have to go with, because that's what I play the most with both my family and my in-laws. Every time we go down to my in-laws' family for Christmas or Thanksgiving, the only thing that ever gets played is what I have deemed combat solitaire, where you play. It's two to four players, because five gets really hairy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You each play a solitaire on your own deck, but you can play on other people's aces.
Oh.
It gets brutal.
I think I have actually played it.
Yeah. That sounds... Yeah, my wife and her sisters and now her mom
get in there, they are vicious at four player, and you just—it's really hard to play fifth.
Yep. I have a quick question.
Yes.
Is Cribbage a card game or a board game?
Ooh,
oof! It is a card game tracked on a board.
Okay.
You could just as easily score on a sheet of paper.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's what I'm going to say.
All right, fair.
All right. Question number three: landscape or animals?
What?
Landscape.
Which kind of pictures do you like?
Or
what kind of puzzle do you like putting together? Ooh. And I would have to go landscape.
Yeah, I think
I think animals are adorable, but I would have to go landscape. I would prefer landscape.
Mm. It might be painting, and I have to go animals.
I would still landscape that.
Landscape is really good. My sister used to paint animals, though, and I have a fondness.
Fair enough. All of my favorite paintings, there's one called The Rocks by, I don't even remember his name, but it just reminds me.
Is it French?
No, I don't think so. But it reminds me of, like, Lake Superior.
Sure.
And there's another one. There's just a few of them that I'm just, like, landscapes that evoke a positive place for me.
Yeah.
Whereas animals are just cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or majestic.
Yeah, I never have a thing where I'm looking at even my favorite, the red panda. Mm-hmm. I never look at a painting of a red panda and go, oh, that reminds me of the time where... No, I'm just like, red panda, that's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure. Yeah. So, I'm going to go landscape.
Yeah, I would go landscape as well for assuming that it's puzzles. Yeah, some of the most interesting puzzles that we have are a set of 1,000-piece puzzles, a trio of 1,000-piece puzzles with pictures made by this, I forget where he's from, but his name is Chayan Khoi.
Okay.
And he makes digital artscapes that are sort of, they're pictures of landscape or cityscapes that have been reclaimed by nature.
Nice.
So one of them is like New York sunken at the bottom of the sea with some dolphins and fish up in the
that's
air.
Fantastic.
Otherwise there's otherwise there's like this downtown scape where everything is covered in moss and Spanish moss and vines and everything and so those are all really cool to look at, but they're predominantly landscapes rather than animals.
Cool. You know what? Landscapes, I'm going to say, are way better than color wheels to a colorblind person. Question number four.
Yeah.
Single or multiplayer?
Ooh,
I'm guessing video games, in which case single.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I prefer multiplayer.
Hmm.
I also prefer multiplayer. Well,
I don't take time to play games for myself. I will take time to play games with other people.
Oh. That's kind of what I'm finding.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I love me some Stardew Valley, but I still haven't gotten past year one on any of it because I play it for a little bit and then I go away and then,
But I mean, that's also part of the reason I like single player is with multiplayer, you know, back when I was playing like World of Warcraft, it became a job. Like people were depending. They would be like,
sure.
We're going to be doing a raid. We need
I've
you.
I've never World of War. My comment multiplayer would be like Borderlands 2.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
sure.
We're going to get together and we're going to pick up where we left off on this storyline.
But even then, you've got other people dependent upon you. They're like, we want to play and we need you in order to be able to beat this level. And you're like, I know.
If you set up a regular time, then that is very specifically one of the reasons why I do it is so that I am making sure to set aside that time to connect with those people.
Yeah, fair. And it becomes a kind of self-care.
A little bit.
It's much easier to set aside time to play multiplayer games than it is to do single player games.
Yeah.
Because you are committing to doing a thing with other people and you can say, all right, this is now an event. Mm-hmm. This is not just me.
Oh my God. Do I need to coordinate
up to my office? No, you just have to find a group of people to agree to do it four times a year, and then you just figure out when it is.
That can be a level of coordination. I don't know if you know my past gaming.
Right, but
anyway.
Then you find someone else to host it and let them do the coordination visits at their house.
I can't do that. Oh, God.
That involves trust.
See, I'm much more happy just like finding, I've got a free hour. I'm going to play me some video games for a little bit.
And I will play some video games on my phone or whatever. Like, I've got some of those, I guess. But I don't really feel like that's gaming so much as passing time.
Yeah, no, I really want, like, 2 or 3 hours to get into something and start making progress.
Fair.
Yeah.
Question number 5, Candyland or Chutes and Ladders? Candyland can suck a dick.
Oh,
Candyland, Candyland is preordained before the game even starts. There's no fucking choice.
We have this question. Yes, oh, yeah. We have. Times.
Candyland is an awful game that involves colors and no chance whatsoever.
Well, I mean, if the deck is properly randomized, you really you're taking a 1 in 6 chance. No strategy.
But once the deck has been shuffled,
yeah,
you can take that deck, mm-hmm. and no matter how many times you play it, it will end the exact same way.
What if you split the deck
the
in two?
The game is preordained.
But if the deck is properly randomized the second time, you'll never have the same game.
But once you have shuffled that deck and put it down, it mm-hmm. doesn't matter.
There's no player choice.
Yeah,
no player choice.
You can play against a person or you can play against a robot. It doesn't matter. It's the end is going to be the same.
Yeah, no, I understand everything that Tulsa's saying. I'm going to go with Candyland.
Mm-hmm. Motherfucker.
I can argue your point. I never even did debate, and I got this.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I don't even disagree with you. I just really enjoy the little characters and the fun and the not... It's the active meditation because I don't have to think.
No, and we... It's delightful. And we have Candyland. We own
also,
Candyland.
Also, Chutes and Ladders pisses me right the fuck off. Ooh. Because I will so get unfair. So close yeah. and then uh-huh. what about slide all the way down.
What about Snakes and Ladders?
Never played Snakes
where you land
and
on
ladders.
The head of the snake.
I had a date Jane like that once.
Look... We were just going to watch Netflix, okay?
No, we own...
I had a date like that.
We own Candyland, and more Candyland than is how me and one of my brothers found out that we were colorblind.
Oh.
Like, that is a very good learning tool
so
for
that's
kids.
That's why you have that specific hatred.
It is,
oh, yeah.
Also that. It is a good learning tool for children to learn their colors.
Yeah.
And
find out that
screen,
they're colorblind.
Screen, no, honestly, screen for colorblindness.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say I played Chutes and Ladders far more when I was a child than Candyland. Hmm. It may be the fact that my grandmother did not have Candyland for whatever reason, and she did have Chutes and Ladders, but I wonder if that factored into it.
I actually had both, and I played Candyland more just because I enjoyed the story and the... And the fucking slides, they would just piss me right the fuck out. Like, I got so anxiety frustrated over that game, I can't even. Whereas oh, yeah. Candyland is just a delightful romp through candy.
I dressed up as Lord Licorice, so I'm going to go Candyland.
Wow. I want to see that cosplay.
I know. White Mill
Professor. James.
What?
Convergence.
No, it was for Convergence.
Did you really? And I missed it.
Yes.
White male privilege.
No, I have different plans.
Oh.
He does. Didn't get to do his plans for this year.
To be fair. Question number 1. Crosswords or Sudoku, which type of puzzle do you prefer?
Sudoku.
Crossword. Sudoku, yeah. Pretty simple. And Sudoku doesn't have, you know, movie stars from 70 years ago as hints.
What I love about it.
Yeah.
I learn things.
I do like the learning aspect of the crossword, but I
want to share my favorite crossword clue with you after the show.
All right, do so.
Yep.
Question number 2. What was it? Board or card? Which Maybe. Type of game do you prefer?
Prefer? Oh, man, that's tough.
Right,
I prefer board games because they have a lot more variety to them.
I generally have that as well, yeah.
Yeah, I think
I played Cordo this weekend. So I'm going to go board game.
All right. Number 3, landscape or animals? Type of picture you prefer on jigsaw puzzles.
Yep.
Well done, Jenna. So, yep.
Excellent.
Landscape.
Landscape.
Yep, totally landscape.
Or the entirely white one.
My next puzzle is actually just a close-up of a bunch of agates.
Ooh.
Right?
Very pretty.
It's a North Shore one. I'm very excited.
Question number 4 was single or multiplayer. Which type of computer/video game do you prefer? We've already went through that.
Yep.
And question number 5 was Candyland or Chutes and Ladders. Which game would you rather play as an adult? I think everybody knows my answer to this one.
So...
Candyland?
I
don't know, man. I mean, one of the Chutes and Ladders I had, if I remember right, had the board graphics where the kids at the bottom of the slides were all beat to hell. And, like... Yeah, like they ran down and they like had skin knees or like a bruise on their elbow or
something.
Yeah,
they were
sad that they went down the chute. And I'm like, oh God, am I supposed to feel that way because of this?
I've been sad. I've gone down the chute before too.
Oh, down that snake. All right. If you would like to send in a Fest 5, send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. In the first email, send your 5 choices, and in the second email, repeat those choices so we don't have to bounce back and forth between messages, and include the context. Make sure that you label those two emails in the subject line with a theme or something similar, that way we know that those are a pair.
It is especially fun when you try and figure out questions that are that lead to a context assumption that is entirely different.
Yeah.
Fun to write those.
I believe it was at
it was last week.
Last week, two weeks.
Yeah.
Oh God dang.
Jesus really Christ. Punted for
Bad
that last
candy.
One, Ice or Pirates.
Still, yeah. That was.
I wanted you to think of the movie.
Yep.
I love that movie.
That is amazing.
All right, that about wraps it up for us. We have had a fantastic die laughing.
Yay!
We have had a fantastic time.
Yes.
I am still in recovery mode. I don't know about the rest of you. But,
can I spot out just a couple
absolutely.
Of numbers real quick?
Yes.
Because I don't have anything to plug, so this is it. I'm just going to wrap up on this. We had over, and I say this because we don't count the hours before and after, so over 350 man hours of volunteering goes into this. We had 63 acts, many of which were not fearless. Many of which were, a lot of them were some fearless, some non-fearless members participating. We had, 25 department heads and or specific assistants to run this marathon. When we started, it was 12 people. That was it. Like, it was 12 of us trying to figure out how to make this shit go.
And
so,
those 25 were only half of the total members of Fearless.
It's true. But, yeah, just focusing on the man hours to make this go. It is a massive undertaking. We start our meetings. I think we started the first meeting was... the first meetings I had were actually in the beginning of December. I don't think I made everybody else start until January, but most
first
everybody
meeting
else.
Was in the first Sunday, first Sunday in January was our first meeting.
But I started meeting with people and doing some plotting things before that, even
figuring out who the heads were going to be. And
well,
stuff like that.
Not even that, but like we actually started working on the forms before then, because I needed people to start submitting. We were working on, and in fact, you were in a meeting before that first January meeting because we were working on the tech form. This it's 4 months in the making, at least, if I'm not thinking about it before and after that time period. And our goal was $20,000. And we raised over $20,000.
Fuck yeah.
And that is because of all of the people, the volunteers, the staff, the performers, fearless members pitching in last minute, people just fucking making sure things are going. Everybody, so many hundreds of people, put their time and efforts into this to make this thing happen. And it's my baby. And it does bring in a large majority of the fearless operating budget for the year. So to everybody, whether you were performing, volunteering, or watching and donating, thank you.
Woo!
All right.
I have nothing else to plug because, Jesus fuck, I just did die laughing. I got nothing for 2 months. Fuck it.
Yep.
Well,
should we be done with this thing?
Let's pinch this turd.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, Eat the fucking cake.
We love you.
Yay.
This is me testing my microphone. Testy, 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 testy.
detest?
Testing. Booyah-based jokes. Booyah-based jokes.